on this Ascension Sunday, when Mother Church is being watered in the month of our Heavenly Mother May, we pray for our earthly mothers. In the Apostles' Creed, the only ancient statement of Christian beliefs, one of the 12 articles of the Creed is He ascended into heaven, where He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus ascended and was not assumed. Indeed, Elijah in the Old Testament was assumed in a fiery chariot and taken up into heaven. And Mary, as we know, the mother of Jesus, would be assumed into heaven at the end of her earthly life. So the words assumption and ascension are significantly different. To be assumed means to be taken or lifted up by another, while to ascend means to go up by one's own power. So Jesus, who rose by his own power, being God, now by his own power ascends to the Father. And there he is seated at the right hand of the Father. One may ask, how can that be, since God the Father has no right hand, nor does he have a left hand, or a leg, or a head, for that matter? God the Father is a pure spirit, an uncreated pure spirit. Only Jesus, who is the Son of God, took upon his divine nature a physical and now glorious body. So these words, at the right hand of the Father, are metaphorical, and means he occupies the most honourable place, being seated in first equal possession of royal and supreme power in glory with God the Father. Now that is what happened. Now why did Jesus ascend? There are four reasons. The first, he ascended because his mission was finished and his glorious body warranted a place of glory. Two, he ascended to possess the kingdom, which he had merited by his blood on the cross. Three, he ascended to prove that his kingdom is not of this world, for the kingdoms of this world are earthly and transient, and are based upon wealth and the power of the flesh, but the kingdom of Christ is not. Fourthly, he also ascended into heaven in order to teach us to follow him in mind and heart. Upon his departure on that day, he did not leave us as orphans. We are not alone, left on our own. St. Augustine adds that God's Son, when he came to us in the beginning of the Incarnation, did not really leave the Father in heaven. He was always with the Father, for did he not say, the Father and I are one? So just as Jesus and God the Father were never really separated, never left the Father, he doesn't really leave us on earth. His presence somehow remains. In what manner does he remain with us? Well, since he is not physically present, except for the real presence of Christ in the sacred host in the tabernacle, he must be then spiritually present to us. This spiritual presence is allied or linked to sanctifying grace, and this grace is connected to the three theological virtues. These virtues were infused, poured into our souls at our baptism, and portrayed there the presence of Christ to us. Faith is what we believe he taught. Hope is our desire for him. And love is how we are one day united to him. Today let us examine the virtue of hope. Hope is a supernatural virtue in the will, and not in the mind or intellect, as is faith. It embraces our desires and wants of the heart. As a virtue, a disposition to moral action, it needs to be exercised, like muscles in the body need movement, lest they wither. How do we exercise it and make acts of hope? By willing in our heart that which Christ wants for us. We need to ask Jesus. We need to think of Jesus. We need to turn to him and trust in him. If we don't build up hope in our heart, then we become hopeless. This notion of hopelessness is fed by the cancers of despair and presumption, which lead to depression and arrogance. So hope is essential for our salvation. As a bridge will take you from here to there, hope takes us from time unto eternity. And the exercise of hope through virtue helps the heart come closer to Christ. Remember, hope depends on the person. It's very personal, and we need to trust in Jesus. One person who did that, one mother who did that, on this Mother's Day, and was a source of hope even now to her family, was Gianna Mola, who died at the age of 40 in 1962. She risked her life in order to save her unborn child. She was an Italian who loved skiing, playing the piano, attending concerts at Milan, where she lived, and was a dedicated physician, doctor, and devoted wife and mother who lived life to the fullest. When she was diagnosed with a tumour during her fourth pregnancy, she refused to have a hysterectomy, which would have lost the child. Being a medical doctor, she knew the consequences, and she did give birth to that child, but later succumbed to an infection and died. The child born was given the name Gianna, like her mother, and in time became a medical doctor. In 2004, Pope John Paul, who is a saint in heaven, canonized Gianna in St. Peter's, Rome. And this is the only time ever in history, and there are many thousands of saints, when a saint was proclaimed here on earth with her husband and children present. Her husband, Peter, could truly say, "My wife is a saint." What an example of hope she gave the world as a mother, a woman of tremendous love. So on this Mother's Day, we express our gratitude to our mothers for the gift of our life. We thank them in words, be they living or dead. If the former, by some form of contact today, and not by a text message or an email. We want real personal contact, voice to head, heart to home, not texting. If she has passed on, we pray for her at the Mass. We'll offer the first Eucharistic prayer. We'll pause at that first section and think about her, place her name on the altar. We do this because we ought to do it. It's an obligation. We thank them, our mothers, not merely for what they have done for us, which shall be noted in heaven, but more so for who they are. We only have one mother, and as they are the source of our life, we owe them our love. Praise be Jesus Christ.